We're still looking at, what we're looking at, yesterday we looked at imaginations, and we're going to look at them some more. And it's the relationship to exchanging gods. So go to Jeremiah 14. No, 18. I think. Yeah. Jeremiah 18. Starting verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now you have to remember something. Who is Israel? Who always has been Israel? And just to keep, to let us look at that. Go to Romans 2, but keep your hand in Jeremiah, if you won't mind.
You asked to remember who is Israel?
Who the real Israel is.
Is the real Israel the chosen people of God?
Go to, we'll find out. Let's go to Romans 2. The people of Israel are called Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's been true since, well, it's always been true. And the kicker to it is that Israel no longer, the true Israel no longer needs the praise of men in any arena.
But praise of God. That's interesting. I never even thought about that. Being praised of God.
All right, back to Jeremiah.
Have you felt that? God praising you? Have you feel that? God praising you?
He's praising Christ. He doesn't ever praise me.
Well, Christ in you, do you feel that?
I don't pay much attention to that kind of thing. I've gotten, obviously, many, many times in my life, I've had a witness where I knew, if you want to call that praise, where I knew something that I'd never thought of before, never heard before, i.e., that I was the Antichrist, and the human race is the Antichrist. And when I saw that, there was an elation because I knew it was true. When I saw the meaning of the feasts, there was an elation. But it's never about anything sensual. It's about when you finally come into an agreement with God and how you see things, then there is a sense of something. I don't know what it is, but it's a sense, it's a witness that it's true.
Also about accepting things, letting go.
Well, that's, you don't get any good, you don't get any goodies for that. That's just expected of all.
What's interesting in this question here is we can understand the praise of men because that's palpable. We all do it, we've done it, we see it. But but then when it says the praise of God and the fact that that's foreign almost is kind of interesting.
All right.
So, there it is.
Well, let's go up. Let's start in Jeremiah 18:1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work under the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." This is pretty interesting. Because what we call making the new, he takes the same pot of clay or hunk of clay, but the pot he made was flawed. And so now he's taking the same hunk of clay and remaking it. Now what the human race calls that process or that action is suffering. Because there's nothing worse than having God remake you. And it's the perfect vision of what God does to the Gentiles. He does it to the Jews too, but they think they've arrived already. And so anybody that thinks they've arrived hasn't. That's why I get so totally upset with this people that say once saved, always saved. It doesn't even mean anything. It's something, it's like God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. No, he doesn't. He has a wonderful plan for Christ in you. It has really nothing to do with you. Anybody understand that a little bit? You're convinced it has everything to do with you. It doesn't. You're dead. All right. O house of Israel, verse 6, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit it. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from his evil way. The word to return is shub, which is normally taught as repent. Turn again. Return you now, every man, from his evil way, and make your ways. And, well, that's, wait, I screwed up. In verse 11, now therefore go to and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you, because return you now, every one, from his evil way, or repent from his evil way, and make your way and your doings good. Now, how can you make your way and your doings good? Only one way.
By not doing.
By the abandonment of self. By the seeing of your death. No part of you can still remain. No part of your identity can still remain. No part of what you esteem can still remain. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Will do the imagination of his evil heart. And what is the imagination? It's just your thoughts, your plan, your idea. Everything that is the mortal enemy of faith.
Is my planning and thinking about helping you, eventually taking you to the VA, is that evil?
I don't know.
Well, you made a declared statement, so I'm asking you directly, is that evil?
I don't know.
To care for you and help you, using my mind to do that.
I don't know. But it's something that, if it's a question to you, then you need to find out.
So I'm fully on board with, there is so much amazing evilness that comes from my mind. I just struggle with everything that ever comes from it.
If you won the struggle, you would nowhere even think of asking the question.
Obviously I haven't.
Okay. So the answer is, I don't know. It depends on what the reason you're doing it, I suppose.
The reason for, okay. Well, the reason I'm doing it is for love. I love you.
Well, if that's the case, if you're not doing it for your benefit in any way, then it's probably right.
Well, I love it.
Anyway, you can't.
The law means love.
You can't keep you in the picture. That's the whole point. And so even the question keeps you in the picture. You understand that?
I've got ears to hear.
What?
I've got ears to hear. That's a yes.
So what's the issue is, you repent of even the question. Because then you've abandoned self. Not questioning whether something is or is something. If that question is, you haven't abandoned yourself.
Right. That wasn't a question that just came out of the ether. It was a response.
Well, that's fine.
The statement you made.
All right. Again, in verse 12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Now, nobody thinks that they're doing evil. That's why to live by faith alone is the scariest thing there is in the face of the earth. Because you have no control. Everybody understand that?
To me, this throws it into the arena of praise of God, because because when you're in that place, that's about the only place you're going to get any praise. Because everything around you looks like you're going to hell. You're screwing up your life. This goes wrong, that goes wrong. But if the light of all those conditions, you wait.
Well, you can't, again, you can't repent of something you're doing if you think that what you're doing is justified or is good. You can only repent when you see that since it originated from you, it's pure evil. If it originated from your mind, it can be nothing but evil. All right, let's continue. Verse 12 again, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Now, they're doing that. They didn't think their own devices, their thoughts were evil. Now, they wouldn't have done it. But from God's standpoint, continuing to do which he has said in a thousand ways is evil, then there's only one option for any of us is repentance. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask you now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Everybody grokking this a little bit?
I don't get that last part.
Hmm?
I'm just looking at that last part. I don't see that yet. Ask among the heathen who hath heard such things, the virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing.
Because you've adopted the ways of the heathen. You put the name of God on your flesh.
Yeah, it's tied in with verse 12. We do after that. I mean, it's intimately tied with 12. You know, we are self-seeking.
In verse 14, if we're going to read on. Yeah. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come down from another place be forsaken? No. I spent quite a bit of time in Lebanon, twice. Once, not too good of circumstances. But they talk a lot about the cedars of Lebanon. In fact, the cedars, the trees, were used to build the temple. But the cedars, one of the oldest resorts in the world is called the Cedars of Lebanon. And it's an extremely high dollar resort. It's on the other... You're on the coast, you're in Beirut, in that whole coastal area of Tyre and Sidon. And then and right away, almost, this huge mountain comes up. That's where the Cedars of Lebanon come from. And then there's another huge valley, and that's called the Beqa Valley. And that's the most fertile ground. I mean, it makes Israel look like a pure desert. And that's why Lebanon was always a test for Egypt, I mean for Israel, because if they had any sense, they didn't want to go back to Egypt. If they had any sense, and they were looking at things naturally, they wanted to go to Lebanon. I wanted the Lebanon to become the holy land of God, because it was really a neat place. But anyway, let's go on. Wait, I don't know why I got that. That's a, just forget all that. Because in verse 15, because my people have forgotten me, and they have burned incense to vanity. Now, what is to burn incense to vanity? What is incense? It's just you've got something to do in your mind. You're burning incense to vanity. And we could spend a year on that. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Now, let's just, we're going to take a side trip. Go to Isaiah 57. Verse 7. Lofty and high mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there, or thither, wentest thou up to offer sacrifices, to burn incense. Behind the doors also, in the posts, hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them, and thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Now wentest to the king, with a small k, with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even to hell. Now, the one that's doing that is just a normal, he's just a normal Christian guy running around. But he didn't change. He put the name of God in his flesh.
Yeah. Isn't that the word Molech? I think that's...
It is Molech.
Yeah.
You're preaching... I mean, you're believing in God, but it's Molech, not Melech. One vowel point off. You believe in what you're doing as unto the Lord. But it's one vowel point off. So you're praising Molech and worshiping Molech, not Melech, not the true God. Molech is the false god. It's simply an idol. And therein you debase yourself even unto hell. But it's these perfumes that are the incense that you burn. Because it's all the thoughts and great ideas and all these things that are going on. And I know a lot about this. I had them all. And I continued to have them after I became a believer. God should have smote me. Well, maybe he did, because everything went to hell after I was electrocuted. All my good ideas were before I was electrocuted. This is then, thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, but yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou hast not grieved. That's what we always do. Because to live by faith causes us to be wearied. When the greatness of the way seems impossible to live by faith alone. And so instead, we start worshiping Molech instead of Melech. One simple vowel point off. And of whom hast thou been afraid? Or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace of old, and thou feared me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies or companions deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away, and vanity shall take them. For he that putteth his trust only in me, is what it says in Hebrew, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And then you shall say, this is the critical part. Once you're there, then you shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And what is the stumbling block? Self-seeking. In any guise, well, that's enough for today. We'll continue on in this way of veil for a while, probably. Any response? Everybody have perfect understanding. Can you see why maybe we have to repent all the time?
Yeah.
I was thinking about the serpent being more subtle than any beast of the field. And I think it ties right into self-seeking. It's like you end up self-seeking, but you don't even realize what's taking place. It's subtle, and it just kind of like gravity, it comes on you, and then you're caught up in it.
Because once you give any part of your mind back to use, I know a lot about this. Well, if I'm just giving this little bit back to my mind, but the most of it I've given to God, and it's gone. But he can't. He's either totally resurrected or totally gone. There's no little bit you can keep him, because of his subtlety. He will always convince millions and millions of believers that they now have the mind of Christ, because they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, and so what they think is what Christ wants them to think. We've got. I bet I get. One of the reasons I don't read my emails very much is because it seems like I get daily batch of emails from Pat Booth, and he's always this super spiritual guy. You know, he's real everything, but his total involvement in politics is he doesn't see. You know, and it's just drives me crazy. And then he sort of kids his friends, come over and talk to Holy. He must have told you, but you're the Antichrist. I mean, he didn't believe that with any part of him. But anyhow, the subtlety is to keep self alive some way.
Yeah.
All right? Take it big time.